become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Show. Woo! Hey everyone, welcome to the Lunchtime Show here in the Mulberry Food Court. Woo! Hey Bill, what are you eating today in the Mulberry Food Court?
I stopped at the popcorn shop.
Ah, they have all that kind of custom popcorn, like chocolate drizzle.
Yep.
And
yep, this is coated in blue raspberry.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some of that. I like to stick with the, you know, cashew and caramel kind of thing.
Mm, yes, the fiddly faddly.
I don't really get into that jalapeno cheddar or anything like that.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, I don't really like spicy popcorn.
I want to enjoy my popcorn, not think about how much my mouth is burning.
Yeah. But here we are, Bill, at the Lunchtime Show again. And
yeah,
there's a reason for that. By the way, I am the Jaystrom, and this is Mulberry Bill.
Hello.
And, we had to take a week off from our regular show, the big episode 300, which was also going to be our big anniversary show, because it's been 9 years since we started Nowhere in Mulberry / Entertainment Landfill. 9 long years.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of shows, a lot of recording, a lot of drops, etc. And is it et cetera or et cetera?
I think it all depends on how you pronounce it. Et cetera?
Yeah, I guess et cetera. I think I change it depending on what mood I'm in and how.
Yeah, it's really a mood word.
Yeah, et cetera. Yeah, I don't think it matters. But we're here. And, you know, my wife was off this week. This is like a family vacation week. And, dude, I didn't get to watch anything.
It's because you were busy running around fun activities.
Running around, like going swimming, going to museums. That's
hey,
right.
Look at me. I'm swimming. I'm at a museum.
We went to the Kimball Art Museum. And
holy shit, you're cultured.
Heather stands there and reads like every placard next to the paintings.
They don't have the headset that tells you what everything is?
No, we didn't do anything like that, but you know, they have some gorgeous things. They have Picasso's, a Van Gogh, and
I want to go there next time we go down. I love Van Gogh, love Picasso.
So I'm walking by and going, sucks, not too bad, not too better. Yeah. Just, you know, walking by all the masters, you know.
Who painted this, a four-year-old kid?
But I realize I'm at the other side of the museum, and I look, and Heather's still in the first section. I'm like, oh, my God, is she really this into art and culture and stuff?
I had no idea.
I mean, if this was a pop culture museum, I'd be there studying everything, you know.
Well, when you get to stand there and just kind of absorb it all, and, you know, it's, I sometimes turn into a total snob when I go to those places. It's probably a good thing we don't go there.
This is the rare G.I. Joe Hasbro toy line section.
Oh,
and I'm, like, looking at each one.
This is the original pre-order Star Wars dolls.
No, but I mean, I think it's cool, but I get bored real easy. I don't want to read everything.
And
some things look visually striking to me or interesting. There's this weird thing where, like, these artists, they would paint people cheating at cards for some reason. They'd have cards in their back pocket or whatever. I thought that was interesting.
That is strange.
Those old tapestries of babies, cherubs. You know?
I could give a shit about those.
Yeah, that's always interesting, but there's a lot of gorgeous things there.
I like the painters that had shit to deal with in their lives, you know, Van Gogh, yeah. Picasso, stuff like that.
But after like a while, I'm like, you know, they do have a snack area where we can...
Oh. Do they have candy bars that look like the paintings?
I don't know.
This art is delicious.
They just have
Van Gogh really knew what he was doing.
You go into this little cafeteria and you can get food and stuff. So I'm like, you know, and I'm ready for the cafeteria.
I'll meet you there.
But
and then you go to the cafeteria and go, where's your arcade?
And, of course, Emma, she just wants to go to the gift shop and, like, get pins and stuff like that.
That's the best place at any museum is the gift shop.
Right. And so we've had fun this week, you know.
Good.
But I have been suffering from an ailment, which has been, it's a kind of thing where it will drive me insane unless I distract myself from it.
It's a neurodegenerative disease?
It's an inner ear thing.
Ear. It's your Ebola that you got from the African item museum.
It's basically like, it feels like I have something blocking my hearing in my right ear, right? At first I thought, oh, I've just got earwax buildup. I need to clean my ear out, right? Because I'm going to say, I was telling Heather, it's about 13 years ago, I had to go to the doctor and they had to flush my ear.
A filthy, filthy creature.
Yeah, it was the same ear. And everything was fine afterwards. I was like, doo-doo-doo, I'm fine. Okay, cut to now, and I'm like, oh, I'm going through the same thing. So I go to the doctor, and he goes, there's nothing in there. Your ears are clean. And I'm like, oh, shit, that means I'm really screwed. And
he goes, you need to get your shit fixed.
He goes, it does look a little red. I think you have an inner ear infection. And what happens is the fluid backs up in there, and it's not draining. So I'm going to put you on antibiotics, give you some prednisone, and a prescription to Zyrtec D. Take it all every day, and hopefully...
Don't play baseball.
Yeah. So, I've been doing that, and I do think it's been getting better, but it still rings a little when I hear loud noises. Like, we went to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This was actually before I went to the doctor, the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're kind of debating, do I really need to go to the doctor? Will this get better? And the whole movie, you know, it's loud and bombastic. All I heard was ringing in my right ear. Like, the louder it gets, the more it rings. And I was like, yeah, I got to go to the doctor. This is driving me insane.
That is irritating.
Right. And even yesterday we went swimming and everyone was like, dunk your head under the water. Why are you still dry? And I'm like, I'm not dunking this ear in pool water.
F you dunk my head underwater. I'll dunk your head underwater.
Yeah, why aren't you wet all the way? Go under. It's like...
Yeah, why are you trying to make me more ill?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not dunking my poor ear in this gross water.
That's exactly what you need, is you already have an inner ear infection. Why not end up with swimmer's ear?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want other crap in there. But I'm hoping it gets better. It does seem a little bit better, but still, like right now when I'm talking, my right ear is ringing a little with each word I say.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Yeah,
my dad has tinnitus because he worked in a factory setting for so long. So, right. I mean, he'll be 65 on November 10th, and he's completely deaf in that ear now because he didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those guys that hates going to the doctor, hates, you know, I don't quite understand it in that if there's something wrong with me, I just need to get it looked at and fixed.
Right. That's the best thing to do.
Yeah, but my dad is one of those guys. Maybe it's because he's in a wheelchair, because it's a pain in the ass to get out of the house, into the car, out of the car, into the doctor's office, back in the car, back out of the car. You know, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So he just didn't bother going. I kept trying to set up appointments for him at an ear doctor, and then like a year later, he's like, I can't hear a thing. I can't hear anything.
Well,
out
you know,
of this
my
ear.
Nature is to ignore things and not go, but I, being with Heather, she's taught me the other way, that you're mm-hmm. supposed to have somebody look
that's
at.
That's what a great partner does. They push you to do the things that you don't want to do.
Right.
And then,
oh, God, I know.
You know, it's just, then you end up doing it, and you're grateful that you did it. And
I look
know,
at it
just,
like someone like my dad, where he had that bad tooth and never did anything about it and wound up in the hospital, like
exactly.
practically dying because he never got it looked at. I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
But my ear was like, if I pushed on it, it was like, oh, like it really stung. So I was like, but now it doesn't hurt at all. So I know the meds are doing good. So it's just like a day by day thing. But you know, I love my surround sound. And I love sound and music.
I could tell you were scared when you told me. You were like, I could tell just in text that you were scared. Like, I wonder where my hearing's going.
Yeah.
Like, you were genuinely frightened.
I need my ears. There's so much joy that comes from, like, listening.
Yeah. Everyone needs their ears.
Yeah.
Just think that the one person who's actually in radio that needs his ears now has to use, what the hell are those? Those cochlear implants? That douchebag asshole Rush Limbaugh. So he can't actually hear anything. Everything he hears sounds like AM radio to him.
Wow.
With those cochlear implants, you can't get like highs or lows or anything like that because it's not true sound. It's just, you know, transferred sound.
Oh, wow. What happened to him? Why is that? Is it just,
I don't know. He just went, you know, years of wearing headphones.
Oh, wow.
And it probably just karma for being a general detestable human being.
Yeah. Well, it's like weird. Like, I've never had problems with my left ear. It's always with my right ear. And part of me thinks is because I always sleep on my right side. Like, I'm putting pressure on that ear. It must be what it is. I don't know. I've tried to sleep on my left side, but I wake up and I'm on my right side again. You know?
Oh.
It's just hard to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's that.
Now, Bill, some pretty sad news. The Robin Williams death was pretty sad.
That was really rough for me. I spent probably 2 days in a really bad fog because I share his sickness in a way. I was diagnosed before I had my surgery. I had to go through this whole mental thing. You know, they want to make sure that you're mentally fit to be able to handle this life change. So they put you through all these exams where you have to answer the same question 300 different ways. And then they run it through a computer and all that, and kind of your diagnosis comes out, and then they talk to you for 2 hours. And they diagnosed me with manic depression type 2 bipolar disorder. So it means that I have lows and highs, and my mania isn't really bad like some people, like Carrie Fisher has a type 1 where she has those insane creative bursts where she's hot on a high for like days at a time, no sleeping, stuff like that. Mine are just, you know, it's almost like a balanced, unbalanced quality, if you can describe it that way. And I had known for a long time that, you know, Robin Williams was one of the people that also suffered from it. So when I heard that he had, they speculated that he committed suicide, I was just like, oh, fark. No, like, that hurt. Like, that was one of those moments where it's a person you really look up to, a person that you've listened to their stand-up since you were a kid. I mean, I was so young. I was like 6 years old listening to his, so This Is Reality, What a Concept, you know, on 8-track. And I just loved it. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And then as you get older, you realize how freaking genius it is. And everything that he did and being such a public person and everything, he always went out of his way to do amazing things for people.
Right.
And it was just, when I heard that, it cut deep. I was out of it. I was like, I even called my shrink. I was like, okay, I haven't seen you in like 8 months, I need to come in. And she was like, well, you're going to have to wait, because whenever somebody big like this commits suicide, she gets a huge influx of people. Yeah, it's a really strange dynamic with society that whenever something like this happens, people start taking a look or deep at themselves. In a way, I think it's a terrible thing that happened.
Is it like, if he can't handle it, maybe I can't either, kind of?
Exactly. People look up to him. I mean, that's what I thought. Like, if he can't handle it, shit. You know, this is a guy who, I would have to assume he has decent money. I mean, he has an incredible family. You think all these things. You don't know this person. You just assume things. And then whenever a realistic situation like this dawns, it wakes you up.
Right. I immediately wondered. The first thing I thought was, you can't die.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of when Harold Ramis died. I was like, you can't die.
You're not allowed. You know, there's still so much for you to give.
Since I was a little kid, he was Mork. You know, I knew him as Mork on TV. Mork and Mindy. We watched Mork and Mindy. And then he was Popeye. And then he was in other movies. And then he was a movie star. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he exploded.
And I immediately thought, what is my favorite Robin Williams movie? And I knew it was The Fisher King. It's just a movie I love. Absolutely love. I've seen it like a million times. I haven't seen it in a long time. I need to watch it again.
I would have to really look at the list of films. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's really tough for me. He tried so hard to do so many things.
He's a very talented actor, not just
even though I didn't like Christopher Nolan's remake of Insomnia, mm-hmm. Robin Williams was so freaking good in it.
That's one thing, you know, he was a funny man, but he was a great dramatic actor. He really was.
Yeah, he was. I mean, what dream, you know what, as I've grown older, as a kid, you know, being inundated with, right-wing fundamentalist Christianity, I was always told that the film What Dreams May Come was evil, you know, because it brought about different ideas. You know, I think it came out in like 1998. That was my last year in high school. I was going to a Christian high school. And, you know, it was derided as something.
God forbid that you think about anything.
Yeah, that's really what it is. They're like, oh, life after death, all this stuff, you know, that's just terrible.
We know what really happens.
Yeah, as I grew up, we know what happens. Don't even, you know, this is blasphemous. but as I grew up and I watched the film, finally I sat down, it really kind of blew me away. And the fact that he's a man searching for his wife in the afterlife who committed suicide and has to save her from the hell that she had put herself in.
She went to hell. She was making herself suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's not a hell. It's a suffering. It's a personal hell.
Right.
That's one of those incredible films that was just like, oh man,
Right. Yeah, it's a very good, dark movie, and you got to be in the right mood to watch it. But it's beautifully, it's shot, and it's so visual, the effects and everything. It's a really good movie.
It's funny that it's one of those things that everything I think of when I think Robin Williams are his dramatic roles. I mean, Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, scenes in there.
You know, and again, I won the Oscar appropriately for it.
That's why many people start throwing up their favorite scenes, like in YouTube, and that it's not your fault scene.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I know, just stop it. And he's like, it's not your fault.
Did you see how they memorialized that bench?
No.
Oh, my God, in the Boston Common, that bench that they have a few scenes on where they have pretty big discussions. People went there and started writing lines from it, start leaving flowers, a petition to get a bronze statue of him sitting on that bench. I mean, it was everybody just kind of went there and poured their hearts out onto the sidewalks. Yeah, it was really moving.
That is. And of course, you have your crackpots on Facebook. When it's first announced, you're like, okay, is this true? Let me Google it. Oh my God, it is true. Okay. And I had someone I knew said, well, his show did get canceled, his new TV show. So I can see why he was feeling pretty down. And I just want to write, shut the hell up. You have no idea what someone's going through, and it's just funny to trivialize it by, well, his show did get canceled. It's like he's been in movies and stuff, and he did a TV show that he played one season. I doubt that's what's going on.
Yeah, you know? People are so effing ignorant.
They have to figure out right away what the reason was. And, you know, it's kind of like one thing whenever you hear some star couple divorces, say like Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, Heather will go, why do you think they divorced? And my answer is, I don't know and I don't care.
My family's the same way. My mom loves People magazine. Like, she just is obsessed with that stuff. She will read TMZ for 3 hours. And it's one of those things where it doesn't involve me. It's not my life. It's a private matter, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Or you could just make something up. Well, they both were cheating on each other. Oh, my God. Really? No.
I heard that she had syphilis.
Just make up stuff. But the Robin Williams thing, just I immediately thought of the Fisher King and that scene with him and Amanda Plummer where he's telling her how much he's in love with her. It's just an incredible scene. And he's so funny in that movie, too. And it's so dramatic. It's just a great film. And I realized there are some Robin Williams I've never seen that he's was fantastic in. Like, I've never seen Good Morning Vietnam.
You've never seen that movie as a person who loves radio as much as you do?
I have never seen it. I don't know why, but I've never seen it.
That is one of my all-time favorite films. Another one of those films that is a really heavy subject. I mean, come on. The Vietnam War, the whole idea of us being there. Just super, super heavy movie at times. But there's so much joy in it, and it's hilarious, and there's so many amazing character actors in it. You've got him, you've got what was the guy's name that was in City Slickers? Bruno
Kirby.
Yes, Bruno Kirby. Forrest Whitaker, and his interactions whenever he becomes obsessed with this Vietnamese girl, where he actually takes over their English class and he's teaching them how to speak English, are some of the funniest things on earth. Like, I love that movie. And it's got a great soundtrack. An amazing soundtrack.
I've seen so many clips and stuff from it over time, and I was telling Heather, you know, I've never seen that. She was like, what?
Yeah, you need to watch that this weekend.
It's just something that slipped away, I guess. I can't explain it.
That's such a good movie.
And we can always remember him in his films. And
he has left an incredible, incredible legacy. I mean, 3 children, it's really kind of, you know, it just shows the dark side of the internet and the way people are trolls. I had followed Zelda Williams for a while on
his
Twitter
dog.
And only just recently on Instagram. Mm-hmm. People chased her off. Like, they were replying horrible things, doing Photoshops
of
her father's dead body.
Some people are very judgmental when someone commits suicide. Like, you know, he's going to hell and all that stuff. I don't
and
know why
they chased her off.
Have to do stuff like when I find out that somebody committed suicide, the first thing I think is, they had their reasons, and too bad they just couldn't get that answer to the thing to keep them holding on, or they had their reasons. I don't judge them, you know.
Suicide is the ultimate despair. There's no reasoning.
You're in a place
depression.
That it's hard to be reached when that happens, you know?
Yeah. You're beyond. Once you reach that point, you're almost. That's why I always kind of. I have to roll my eyes, and people are like, if you're thinking of committing suicide, reach out. And it's like, once you've kind of decided, it's kind of. That's the. It's you're kind of past that point.
Right.
Like
I know there was an outpouring, which is fine, of people saying suicide hotlines. This, you know,
I have someone
to talk to. Yeah,
I did it,
and I thought that was great because it's telling people that you don't have to be alone. And I, you know, it's like when you get depressed, sometimes it's hard to be reached. It's almost like you're down in a well and you see a little speck of light up there. And there's someone up there saying, hey, look up here. And you're just too caught in
the
darkness.
You're too far away.
Yeah. So any little thing that can get someone's attention, like maybe you're not in that mode right now, but you know you have been, that you know there's someone there that you could talk to.
Yeah. Excuse me?
Or or if you have a pet that you can
Webster,
be with.
Yeah, I gotta say, this barking little shit, he makes me smile every day. I mean, he's a medication in himself. That and gigantic pain in my ass. But
yeah,
that's another story.
Here's an interesting change of topics. Recently, we got a laser pointer. And I've always...
For your imaginary cat?
We never used one before, but... Yeah, for cats. We tried it on Baby, and she goes insane. She chases around. You could literally spin her around 20 times, and she won't stop going, Bill. She's obsessed with it. It takes over all instincts that she has to chase this thing. Well, as we were doing it and laughing, I go, wait a second. We need to put this away. And, you know, Emma was like, why? And I go, because it's making her crazy.
Exactly, yeah.
And when we put it away, she went around sniffing everything, like looking for it and everything. And I said, her instincts are to find this thing that doesn't exist.
So, yeah, that is like existential beyond.
Right. Well, I realized that she can never find what she's looking for, and it'll make you crazy.
It makes you neurotic.
So I immediately grabbed a rope and started playing tug of war, just trying to distract her with it.
A tactile thing.
Yeah.
Something she can actually take away from you.
I was telling Emma, if we play with her with this, we have to immediately pick up something else to distract her, like her rope and play tug of war, to get it off her mind. We have to replace it with something else.
Otherwise, or put a treat on the ground and shine the thing on the treat or something.
Right, because she was like going, you know, just looking everywhere and trying to find it, and it doesn't exist. It's not there. Baby, let it go. Indiana.
Oh, I feel so bad for her.
She's doing okay now. I played tug of war with
her. I would never do that with my cat.
The cats are different. They just like bad at everything. You know,
that's true. Cats don't care about shit.
A poor, poor dog. But she's doing good now. I played tug of war. Now she's carrying around her bone stealthily and trying to bury it in pillows.
Under a pillow.
Or as some people say, bury it.
Bury it in the pole.
Bury it. Now, Bill, I have some fantastic news.
All right.
And I just thought you might like to know.
Yeah.
Before it leaks out to the rest of the internet.
Okay.
This is pretty rare news. And it's a secret between you and I.
You're killing me.
After I tell you. And I'm trying to delay where I find the news story.
Oh!
So I'm teasing right now.
So you're kind of shining the laser pointer on the floor for me.
Yes, this is a laser pointer.
You're going to make me neurotic.
Okay, you ready to hear this?
Yes.
New Stormtrooper helmet may have been revealed.
Oh, it may have been revealed. Wait a second.
Yeah, website...
This is speculatory.
Website Indie Revolver has shots of what may be a version of Imperial Stormtrooper we'll be seeing in Episode 7. The photos, Bill, are very convincing.
Oh.
Do you remember back when you saw Empire Strikes Back for the first time?
Yes.
And they're on Hoth, and all of a sudden, you know, the Imperials attack, and you see the cool snow troopers, like the stormtroopers in the snow garbs.
Yeah, they've got like the kind of capes and...
Yeah, the long face thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh man, that is awesome. And we saw it for the first time in the movie. I like that better before the internet, where they just show you everything.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's say it is that, but for the meantime, it's just some asshole in his garage who's a cosplayer.
Right. They actually have several helmets, and it's like, could this be? And my answer is this. Who cares?
Yeah. Why can't... Let the movie come to us. Stop trying to spoil everything for everyone.
If you look at the original trailer, there's regular stormtroopers, there's scout troopers, there's snow troopers. They have different kinds of helmets. Big deal. I want to see it in the movie and go, dude, that looks badass. You know, I don't need to know now.
There's a million different types of stormtroopers, and who knows if they're going to be following that canon. I mean, that's extended universe stuff, really, outside of the films. But, I mean, you've got, like, the shock troopers and the higher elite guys and stuff like that. But, yeah, who cares?
Right. And some people
just let me watch the movie. Stop being assholes.
And now there's a new article coming out like, we may now know who the Star Wars villain is.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, do you want me to tell you, Bill?
Yeah, because I want it to be ruined.
Because in Star Wars Rebels, the TV show that's coming out.
Yes, the Inquisitor.
He's going to be the bad guy in the Episode 7 also.
Oh, well, that's kind of a stretch, I guess.
Yeah, let's... okay, so that's IO9 there, so take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm...
It's just, you know, we did a Star Wars show where we talked about all this. Let's save this for our next show.
Yeah, I think we should. This is... I don't know what to think about any of this. It's just so, so far beyond... the time frame of actually getting a sneak peek at the film.
Yeah. That,
you know, maybe once we get that first teaser and we can start to speculate more, but yeah, I just don't get it.
Now,
it's strange for me, maybe because I love the property so much. There's no joy in it for me to like wonder about it, to speculate about it. I just want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like the, someone put out pictures of the Millennium Falcon in the cockpit. And it's like, look, it's... A, and I'm like, yes, I know it's in the movie. I know what it looks like.
You know, we've already had confirmation that Harrison Ford, you know, he's in there. So yeah. I would think the ship would be in there.
Hey, look, Mark Hamill has a beard.
Holy shit, are you serious? Why would he have a beard?
Now Entertainment Weekly has a new article... Does Star Wars Episode 7 have a spy problem? Someone with access to the set of Star Wars Episode 7 has been sending out snapshots of concept art and props, breaking the force field of secrecy on that movie. Oh.
I'll tell you what, if they do have a spy problem, it's going to be over pretty soon because J.J. Abrams won't tolerate that shit.
Right.
And they're going to regret it because they're probably going to get sued and never be able to make a penny again.
I honestly think that whatever's leaking out is on purpose. It's all been harmless things. Nothing to do with plot at all. We've seen an X-Wing. We've seen the Millennium Falcon. It's nothing that hurts what we know about the movie. Am I right?
Yeah. We know nothing of the story. There was one little thing out there where people were talking about the film, but it just sounded so far out there that I was like, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, my main thing, and I thought of it myself, I didn't read it anywhere, was I was thinking, Bill, what if that little kid that's in Star Wars Rebels, because if you watch the trailer to it, there's this kid who's force sensitive, and he's a little shit who steals stuff and stuff, but he's got a good heart, and he meets this Jedi in hiding who has a crew on a freighter, and he decides to train him the ways of the Jedi. And you can tell that the Jedi is even flawed himself. He's got problems and stuff. And Jedi are supposed to be hiding. If the Empire knows you're a Jedi, they kill you on sight, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was like, what if that little kid is actually in the new trilogy as an adult? What if, like, Adam Driver plays him or something? And just for a second, I was like, whoa!
But yeah, maybe he never ends up, you know, maybe the Jedi bounty hunter, whatever the hell he is, fails him and he becomes the next, like, evil. You know, maybe that's the real bad guy.
That would be totally awesome.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Just let it work. Let them do their work.
See, but I didn't float that out there on the internet. I should have.
Yeah, well, then maybe we could have got some traffic to the
site. The J-Strom of Entertainment Landfill Podcast has leaked special plot. J.J. Abrams calls me, damn it, how did you figure that out?
I can't believe you would do this to me. I thought you cared.
I thought you were a fan of Alias and Lost and you do this. I
you
even like
Son Mission of a
Impossible
bitch.
3. So.
No mystery box for you.
No. Now, Bill, I did see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You did?
Just like you did. I saw it with my wife and daughter.
You saw it in a proper environment with a family, whereas I was the single, creepy, 34-year-old guy sitting in the theater by
we
myself.
We could not find it in XD. It was not showing anywhere. But it was showing in a large theater that was not XD. It was like, at the Cinemark, they added the XD, like, built onto it. an expansion. So it was in the big theater before they had a bigger theater. You know what I mean?
All right. So it was older sound, older, you know. Just,
right. And yeah. my ear was messing with me anyway, so it didn't matter what the sound was.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a lot of fun, but it was, again, like, as I was leaving the theater, I'm like, what happened again?
No. Yeah. It's like I told you, you know, you might enjoy it while you're watching it, but the moment you leave the theater, you're going to be like, okay, so what's next?
I thought it was funny that there were certain sequences that I liked just visually in 3D, like them sliding down the mountain in the snow.
Yeah, that was good.
The fact that the Ninja Turtles are bulletproof, apparently.
Yeah, they're shells. I mean, that makes sense when you think about it.
Their shells are bulletproof.
Why they would shoot them center mass, you know, that's getting a little...
Shredder is like in a Titan from Titanfall.
Shredder honestly annoyed the hell out of me. It was it's too much.
It's overkill. It's like the Rhino at the end of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. And, the way he shoots the knives out and then pulls them back by magnets.
It's like something a 12-year-old thought of. Oh, and then he turns on his magnet and the knives go back. It's like, oh, badass. You know?
Nothing else goes back. It's a specific magnetic pull on those particular blades.
They know exactly where they go back to, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't just stick to his suit.
It's not the most thought-through film. They're just kind of throwing it out there, like, okay, so this is what it is. If it's successful, then maybe we'll do an action.
You know what
film.
I did think was funny, though? When the movie starts, they take way too long to get to the turtles.
I told you. It's like the entire first fight scene in the subway, you never see them.
Well, I wanted to yell out loud. By the time they got to that, it was already too long. I wanted to go, "Where are the turtles?" Like out loud. I was getting surly.
And that's like almost an hour into the film.
Right.
Like, we're running around with April O'Neil doing interviews with celebrities and...
talking to Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm just like, what the hell? Where are the turtles?
Yeah, and finally when they're in there, you know, I thought they were funny, I guess. They're kind of threatening at first.
They're really threatening. Like, I mean, as I'm watching the movie, I'm just like, man, they look like lizards.
Because they're like, don't tell anyone about us. And it's like, holy shit. We know where you live.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. They are huge and gigantic. And I get it. They played up the whole mutant thing in the movie.
Yeah. They played up the mutant thing a little too much with Splinter. Because Splinter was freaking frightening looking.
He was fugly. And he was the voice of Monk.
I kept thinking that. Like, why is Monk? Like, Monk's all wise and he can use his tail to beat the shit out of people.
I did think it did crack me up when he had the pizza and he was like naming the cheeses.
Yes, that was good. There are little moments that I really liked. Like, I actually got kind of an excitement out of him going, "Say it, Mikey." He's like, "I thought you never told me to say it again." He's like, "Say it." And he's like, "Cowabunga!" And I was like, finally! Turtles that I know!
I want him to go, Bossa Nova?
Yeah, that would have been good. See, a real writer would have done something like that.
Yeah, so it was fun, but, you know, it's just that. And there's going to be a sequel. Maybe they can get some Bebop and Rocksteady or something.
Yeah, some Bebop, some Rocksteady, some Bring Krang. Some there's a bunch of speculation that Krang in his bodysuit is actually... in that ancient Japanese photo that Sax is showing April O'Neil.
Oh, that's funny.
Like there's a big one sitting on a rock, and if you look at the midsection, there's like a weird kind of...
hole in it or something?
Yeah, so... and then off to like the bottom left side of the photo, there's a Krang alien not in a suit kind of thing.
They should do it. I say go for it.
Yeah, they need to go crazy on this second one.
Because in this film, it's funny, I thought it dragged at the beginning, and then it went into overdrive, and then it never slowed down, kind of a thing.
And there was no real reasoning behind any of the action. Like, all we got was caricature versions of the Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Like, and you know, they could have used the time more wisely to build some, you know, some goodwill towards the characters.
I honestly did not like, it bothered me. That the Foot Clan have machine guns. They're supposed to be ninjas.
Yeah.
The Foot Clan are ninjas. They don't, they're not terrorists with machine guns. But they wanted to modern it up and stuff. But I honestly, I was like, this is lame. It just annoyed me.
Yeah. There were just little things. I just wanted it to be better. Like I told you before I went to see it, I'm ready to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going in totally open-minded. I want to see something exciting, mm-hmm. fun. And it just, there are little tidbits, but just not enough to make me go like, okay, I would tell my niece to go see this or something. But again, that's coming from a 34-year-old man who grew up on the cartoons.
And you're right, the fart wasn't that bad. It was funny.
Yeah, it was simple. You know, it was one of those goofy moments. You know, it was kind of a Three Stooges moment.
Yeah, they were all trying to get through one thing, and then they were like, and they're like, Mikey.
Yeah, I was just glad it wasn't like a loud, obnoxious, juicy fart.
Like
you know?
In episode one, where he's like, Piusa!
Piusa stinker!
Oh, Yusa farted!
I can't believe it!
Yusa got bad gas problem! It's like, okay, we get it, he farted. Move on, movie!
Yusa need
gas X! Go to local drugstore! It's like, okay!
My throat hurts too much to try a Jar Jar Binks. It's not coming out.
Misa, kill you for farting on me. And he pulls out a knife and just stabs that Eope in the neck. Blood
that
starts coming
awesome.
Out. All the kids are crying in the theater.
Then
it's
he
like,
grabs
wow.
a bowl and harvests the blood to make sausage out of it or
Misa,
something.
Misa, now drink his blood and harvest all of his internal power. It's like, whoa, these Gungans are in some weird tribal shit.
They're absorbing the power of creatures.
Now I have Eopie's power. And then he goes, and just farts. And it's like, oh, wow. It's like, this is some deep shit.
That's powerful. That's ravenous stuff there.
I think I've just improved the movie.
You did. Make the Gungans a really crazy spiritual tribal nut. Maybe make them cannibals,
That would have been so cool. Like, in the battle on Naboo, like, there's, you know, we've got Obi-Wan, and we've got Qui-Gon Jinn, and we've got Jar Jar. They're fighting, like, guys, and you see, like, of course, they don't kill any creatures. They're just killing droids, right?
Yeah.
But you see that Jar Jar likes to pull them apart and collect pieces of them and make necklaces and stuff.
Ooh.
And he's, like, truly gets tribal. He's
or
like...
Before the battle... You have them all go out on the front line with their Eopies and slice their necks and drink their blood to, like, throw off the clones. Or not the clones, but the droids. Like, oh, shit, these guys mean business.
Yeah, they're like, now paint your body in the blood. And they're like, what the hell?
These are so powerful.
And he's like, I think we need to eradicate the Gungans.
After the... Yeah, it's like... It's like Patton after World War II. Well, now we have to go after the Russians.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to nuke this site from orbit.
Yeah, we're going to be like, thanks for helping us win the war.
Unfortunately, you must die. Unfortunately.
Or they put like a virus in that ocean they live in that like gets into them and they turn into like vampire cannibals.
Oh, it'd be great. It mutates them, and then they come after the Jedi in the next film.
Oh, what a mistake they made.
Just forget about all the other stuff. The,
yeah.
You know, stuff with the Emperor and everything.
Much better. I'm liking this much better already.
You know what, Bill? I wanted to say something that today, out of the blue, we got two new patrons. That is right, sir.
That is fantastic. Yeah, and we were just talking about like how it's, you know, we've been trickling in, you know, we've gained two. I don't think we've lost any, but just keep going, people. Come on. Help us out.
It's so
we
awesome.
Want to make 300
because
this weekend.
It's slowed down where, you know, I'm like, okay, I shouldn't expect anything. And then boom, two in one day. It's just like awesome. Paul Ty and Darren Finland, thank you guys so much for becoming patrons and supporting the show.
Very awesome.
If anyone else would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. And we will love you forever. And you'll be supporting the show. Keep us cranking these shows out. Like
Gungan kills us and drinks our blood.
Yes. Which, you know, the old Jason, he would have just not done his show today. Moved on, Bill. Nothing. and we were doing the show next week. But I'm like, no, we got to do something, Bill, right?
Yeah, got to keep it going. Got to keep that the wheels rolling, because if we don't, then we start slipping, and yeah, we can't do that.
It's like, Bill, go down the street. We're going to go to the Mulberry Town Mall, record the lunchtime show. Woohoo! Yeah,
stop at the Mexican Inn, get some chips.
And then for dessert, get an Orange Julius. Maybe get a pretzel.
Oh, Auntie Anne's pretzel?
Emma's new thing is she has to get pretzels everywhere.
Really?
And
have you taken her to, like, the Auntie Anne's, like the real greasy, buttery pretzels in the mall?
No, no. You know what? When we went to the Mellow Mushroom Pizza Place, on the appetizers, they have pretzels made out of pizza dough.
Oh.
And it was awesome, because I had a piece, and I was like, damn.
Are they, like, buttery, or?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they had this weird mustard stuff, and I dipped it in there. It was so good. But, of course, Emma's like, mustard's gross. But I thought it was really
good. She didn't try it?
No.
Oh, Emma.
Not adventurous like that, but it was awesome.
Yeah, that's, I love soft pretzels and mustard. And
it was totally Wizard Annie.
Oh, my God. That's like frying pan level of greatness.
You know what? I'm really excited to see this new movie, Frank, starring Michael Fassbender.
It's intriguing.
I know we were like to watch a trailer to it probably like 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And it's Michael Fassbender wearing this weird head. And it looks so strange and funny. I can't wait to see it. And I see that Drew McWeeny just put up a review of it. Michael Fassbender's performance anchors the eccentric Frank.
Cool.
And I'm going to read that as soon as we're done.
I assume you never actually see his face.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
I know it's like the whole story is kind of based on a actual comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this guy named Chris Sive. He's an English musician and comedian. And he had this band called the Freshies. And he had a side character called Frank Sidebottom. And he wore that head.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of based on a real thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. That's funny.
Yeah.
Too funny. I like that.
The characters are so strange. Like the Maggie Gyllenhaal character. I think she plays a theremin. it's so bizarre that it's irresistible. I love strange shit like that.
Yeah, it just looks. I'm gonna use it, Bill. The quirk word, quirky.
It is, but I think it's a good kind of quirky.
Yeah, yeah, not bad quirky. Good quirky.
I know it's a Magnolia Pictures release here in the States, so hopefully we'll get, like, on demand for it soon.
Oh, sweet. I would love that. Because I don't want to, like I said before, I don't support my local art house scene, movie theaters.
It's a pain in the ass. Are there any art house theaters in Arlington?
Not in Arlington. You'd have to go to Dallas. They have the Magnolia and stuff like that.
Yeah, we drove that. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So I'm lazy, see it at home on video on demand. That's what it's for.
It's not lazy, it's convenient.
Yeah, convenient. That's what I meant to say. I didn't mean to say lazy. Never lazy. Bill, I am like the definition of energetic and outgoing and all that stuff. So I don't know why I would say that.
Yeah, I mean, you're just a ball of energy. You're like a kid that has ADHD.
Yeah. It's like, dude, shut up, slow down, stand still.
Take your Ritalin, goddammit.
You know what's funny is, like, after going to the pool yesterday, we actually went to a tiny water park that's part of a city park.
Oh, that's nice.
It's got, like, a big pool, and it's got two water slides, and then it's got a kids area where it's, like, a foot deep with sprinklers and stuff.
Do they have the bucket or the mushroom?
No, but they have water jet things that rain down on you and stuff.
That's cool.
They've kind of their version of the mushroom, but it's smaller, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like $6.50 per person. Super cheap.
That's usually reasonable.
When we've gone to like Hawaiian Falls, we'll drop like $90
easily.
Oh,
yeah. It's way overpriced.
When
you can, And half the time you spend, like, waiting in line for the slide.
Right. And yesterday, you know, $26 for us and Emma's niece, or my niece, Emma's cousin, and it was $26. And Heather and I were like, hey, this was a better idea. Because every year on Heather's vacation, they want to go to the water park. And I'm always like, God, no, please don't make me do this. Because I end up with horrible sunburn every time. Yeah. So, dude, I caked on the sunscreen. I kept reapplying like every 30 minutes. I still have sunburn on my shoulders. I didn't get it on my face, thank God. Because I've gotten it really bad before. So I was careful. But after spending 4 hours there, then came home, took a shower. Then Emma and I went to see Godzilla Rift Tracks. And that movie is just a slog anyway, like super long. That halfway through it, I was like, dude, I am like so tired.
I would have just got up, got a thing of candy, some Skittles, and just kind of wandered around. Maybe hung out in the hallway, listened to the jokes from the hallway.
You know what the thing is that Emma, even jokes she doesn't get, she cracks up. Just she's laughing her butt off the whole movie, and she did several, like, she would take a drink of Sprite and then they make a joke, she'd go poof, and she'd do spit takes.
Oh my God.
I was cracking up, and I was wondering if the person in front of her was like, dude, is it raining in here or something?
What the hell? Yeah.
My favorite joke, though, was Doug Savant. He's really good at being Doug, but not good at much else.
Oh.
That cracked me up. He's a Doug Savant.
Where has he gone? Is he doing, like, Lifetime movies now?
I don't know.
He should be in the next Sharknado.
And, you know, of course, Hank Azaria is in it, so they got to work in the Gargamel jokes.
Oh.
And, you know, they've got Ferris Bueller jokes.
Did they have any Simpsons jokes?
Yeah, they did a couple because, you know, Hank Azaria, also the other guys in there.
He's so many characters on The Simpsons.
Yeah, well, who else from The Simpsons is in there? There's a bunch of people from The Simpsons actually in the movie.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I believe the voice of Bart is in the movie.
Oh, that Nancy Cartwright?
Yeah, she's in the movie at one point.
Tackles one of the baby Godzillas and asks him to consider Scientology.
She's just like a what do you call it? She's like a secretary or something.
Oh, okay.
And also Harry Shearer is in it, who of course is all over the Simpsons. And they said somebody else, but I don't remember. Oh, it's Nancy Cartwright who is in it.
Yeah, she's Bart.
Yeah. Don't have a cow, man.
Do the Bart man.
Yeah, Butterfinger.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
But it was funny, they were pointing out, like, oh, like, there's Blockbuster signs all over the movie, and they're like, Blockbuster. Remember those guys? Remember when there was Blockbusters? And also they were making fun of how there were actual disposable camera machines in Times Square. Like,
my gosh.
For sightseeing and stuff.
That is so dated.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of dated stuff in there that was funny.
I'm gonna go on Tuesday and try to get through it, but I'm gonna need some help with that.
Like I was saying, there's some parts actually where the guys messed up quite a bit.
That's amazing to me because maybe they didn't do. Do they do rehearsal? I thought they did.
Well, they might, but Mike, he didn't even look like he brushed his hair. You know, it was like, did he just wake up from a nap or something? Because these guys, you know, they have faces for radio. Let's face it.
Bill Corbett is frightening.
But they're funny guys, you know.
And I don't think Kevin Murphy could get any more earrings in his face.
Yeah.
No, I think he has like 2 earrings. I always see that. I'm like, how old is he? Take that earring out of your ear.
Tom Servo, right?
The second Tom Servo.
We always have a good time at the Rift Tracks. We're smiling the whole time. We're having a good time.
See, that's what it is. I mean, if you're going to pay $12.50, you want to laugh.
And they had several Muppets jokes, too, and seven like that. Like, remember that Hank Azaria's character is called The Animal? Like, because he's this gung-ho, cameraman who will go in everywhere to film.
Yes.
And they were, like, making, like, Dr. Teeth was sick, so they got Animal and stuff like that. Just silly stuff like that.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, they even had a Game of Thrones joke, and I leaned to Laura and I go, Game of Thrones joke, you wouldn't get it.
Oh, she hasn't watched it?
No. She's never seen
it. She's missing out, man.
Because, you know, they show the Godzilla eggs, and they're like, oh, if Khaleesi was there, she would have those things hatching in no time or something like that. I don't remember.
All right.
It was just kind of like, you guys are pandering.
Well, true. I mean, they love doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said that Riff Trax is much more pandering comedy. That, you know, they don't... I guess it's more childlike in a way. They're just a little lower on the intelligence scale. I don't... You know, I always felt that, like, Joel Hodgson, instead of being cynical, he kind of celebrated a lot of the stuff that they did with MST3K.
He celebrated stuff he loved. And
yeah.
He was making jokes for people who got it, who are like, if people get this, they get it, and that's great. If they don't, it's okay, too. You know,
and what's great about MST3K is I'd watch it and laugh and not get half the jokes, but then as an adult and you start to become more exposed to things and you watch them again and you catch something then realize it's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, now I get it, you know. Yeah, there was a couple of jokes in there where it was like, who? When they would say somebody.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I got to look it up later on the internet.
I got to go on AOL into a chat room and ask what this is about.
Chat room.
ASL.
How did we do that, Bill?
What, the age, sex, language thing?
You know Vanessa would do? Pinch, poke, give me a Coke.
Oh, that's right.
My whole life I always heard that. We say something, jinx, pinch, poke, give me a Coke. It's like, I owe you a punch to the face.
Yeah, I owe you a punch in the throat. Try to breathe now, bitch.
Bill!
What?
I wouldn't say that to my sister.
No, I didn't mean it sisterly. I just meant it in general.
Bill! My God, Bill!
I'm a terrible person.
So, Bill, what are you going to do later?
I don't know. Probably drink tea and go to bed.
Go to bed? It's Friday. Usually this time we should be... We're just starting the show, usually.
I know. Usually.
Not this time. We're about to wrap it up.
I should really do something. Like, I should force myself to go out and do something. But I'm too lazy.
You could play some Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, shit. You know what? I think I am going to do that.
You know, that's what's so funny is, like, you know, Bill and I, when we first met, we played this game called Star Wars Galaxies. And I was even thinking, like, I played it for a while before I even met you in the game.
Like, did you?
How long would you say you played before we met in game? Like a month?
It was probably like a month or two. Because I was just kind of curious, so I looked on the home theater forum, and somebody had posted that they were starting a guild. And I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, the same with me. I was keeping track of that, but I was playing, and I didn't really know anybody. And I'd made a couple of friends just wandering around. Like, someone goes, hey, do you want to group on some missions? And you're like, sure. And you just go with them.
Yeah.
And you learn some things, and after a while, you're like, I don't really like this person. Like,
yeah, this person's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, or something like that, or... This person tends to be rude to other people playing. That's not cool or whatever.
Yeah.
So eventually you and I started playing and, you know, Emma was born and I couldn't play as much. And then World of Warcraft came out and they tried to change the game into World of Warcraft. The game, like, really, if you look at it, isn't made to be anything like MMOs today.
No.
It's got, 16 professions in it or something?
Yeah, it's really kind of deep and old school.
It's super, like, nerdy in detail with numbers. Like, you have, you know, scouts and medics that become doctors or rangers. But
and you have to analyze resources and use the best resources to make things.
Resources sprout up all over the galaxy, and you have to go and search for those to craft things. The best metals, the best hide available with animals. You send people out to hunt them and whatever. You also have entertainers. Like, you get battle fatigue in the game, and the only way to get rid of it is to go to a cantina and watch entertainers play music who are actual players playing the music
yeah
and dancing, and it's just crazy. Like
they, yeah, and the, then they get points for, you know, healing and
XP.
And then there's actually apprentice points where you can teach people things. And there's,
yeah,
I mean, there's,
you actually, you can teach, you go to trainers in the game to learn things, but you don't have to. You could go to another human being who can teach you.
Yeah, unless it's a main skill.
Right,
like,
right.
You have to actually learn, like, novice and masters from
and pay
the people.
A crap load of money. For
yeah,
the
like
hiring.
$5,000 or something.
But what's so cool, like, you have someone making droids, you have someone making vehicles, you have some people creature handling to get animal mounts for you to buy. It's just like they gave something for everybody to do. They have, like, chefs in the game who make food, they get bonuses. But then when World of Warcraft, they're like, okay, let's dumb it all down. We got to dumb everything down. And they ruin the game.
Yeah, they did.
They
you know, they dumbed it all down first, and then second, they did the combat update.
Right.
Where it totally changed everything. It turned into, you know, World of Warcraft, basically.
Yeah.
It was almost like a point-and-click kind of thing. I remember you'd have to, like, choose your attack and then just keep clicking. It was so bad.
I remember, like, and what I would do in the game was collect weapons, basically. I was a pistol guy who you want to, you know, like, you could go kill a crate dragon that dropped this rare tissue that you bring it to a weaponsmith. He makes you a gun that's more powerful. You take it to a smuggler who will slice it for you to make the damage and speed better. Like that. It was really cool.
Yeah. It was fun.
And I remember, like, you were like, come and play Star Wars Galaxies with me again. They've got this Rage of the Wookiees thing. Come on, it'll be fun. And I remember we played it once.
Once.
And I looked at my DL-44, and they changed the way it looked.
And they changed the stats.
And it broke my heart. I was like, this isn't the game I remember.
Yeah, we played through that one, like, one area on Kashyyyk.
And I was like, dude, I don't know how to shoot anything. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was like, is this trying to be a first-person shooter now? What is going on?
Yeah, they even did another DLC or expansion, whatever, after that. It was like the Trials of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
It was like they were trying to make everybody a Jedi. Because they were like, well, everybody wants to be a Jedi. Let's make everybody a Jedi.
Yeah, and we played it when there were none. All there was speculation. How do I unlock a Jedi in the game?
Yeah,
and like,
there's
well,
a special, like, holocron or Obi-Wan comes and visits you.
Right.
It was all like ideas, and it was like the like urban legends.
And then they eventually did put it in where if you did enough things in the game, an old man would come and visit you. And I remember. Do you remember that? I don't know if. You
oh my god!
Me.
I remember the first when he came and visited me. I was like, "Holy shit, he's here!"
Whoever that weaponsmith was in New Coventry that made my gun, he was there talking to me. And there was somebody else, I think it was Wen, who was one of our guildmates. The old man came up, and they're like, dude, check it out, it's the old man. And he goes, Jastrom Strummer? You know, he'd said that, and I go, yeah? Yeah, what up? And he goes, you are force sensitive, or whatever.
I am!
And I was like, holy shit! And they're like, dude, that's awesome! And he tells you to go to the village, and then you grind for like a year trying to unlock
things. Our weaponsmith was a Twi'lek named Vith Samore.
No, he wasn't the weaponsmith.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he was just one of our guildies.
Oh, I thought he was the weaponsmith.
No, he wasn't the weaponsmith. It was a guy who was in New Coventry, that guild.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember we were like shared a city with them?
We shared a city, that's right, yeah.
And I remember he made me that DE-10 pistol, and then he logged into his brother's account to slice it.
Yeah, and we were standing outside of the house, his brother's house, and he's, like, yelling the stats as
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, he's, like, calling it out. It's so funny. What's funny about that game is that I remember that as if we were there.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, that was a time of our life.
When the old man came to visit me, I remember it as him talking to me. I don't remember his actually word balloons you see, like, on the screen.
Yeah.
And that's what's funny is I remember, like, us standing there at night waiting outside his space apartment.
Yeah, just chilling.
Calling out stats. That's how much the game meant to us, you know?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, that was so much fun whenever we were deep, deep into that because we had a great group.
And when they launched, Star Wars The Old Republic, they shut that game down. Star Wars Galaxies.
And I'm almost sad that we didn't log on to see that final thing, because I guess it was pretty cool. Like, they brought all different kinds of people in, and there were fireworks. It was just like a huge party. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of depressing. Basically, you're attending a wake.
Yeah, and people counted down till the end. There's actually some videos of people at the very end when it goes off.
I'll have to look that up on
YouTube. And it's so sad. I watched one where the guy is playing, and people are counting down, and all of a sudden it goes to the load screen of his character standing there.
Oh, that sucks.
And the server that you log into is gone. It's just nothing there. And it's like, well, It's over.
It's over. That's it.
Apparently, people were trying it back then, too, but they were trying to create an emulator for the game.
Yeah.
And now it's more playable than it was back then. And you can actually use your old game disc and actually log in. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been playing it quite a bit this week. Every, chance I get at night, I'll play it for 2 or 3 hours. And it's funny to see, you see the same people, because there's probably only 2,000 people on a server.
Uh-huh.
So you see a lot of the same people in the same areas, like Corellia Coronet. And, you just sort of, they're much friendlier now, and people are all playing it because they love the game.
Right.
I have yet to really run into an asshole.
Right. Like, back then, when you're paying for the game, and there's things that are broken in the game, all you do is bitch about it. But now it's free, and there are people who don't get paid to make it work, and so you're cool about it, like wanting things, you're appreciative now.
Yeah, there's guys that, like, I asked for help with something, and the guy was like, hey, so what are you doing? And I tell him what I'm doing, and then he's like, well, here's some armor, here's a gun, this is a really good gun to do some grinding with, and here's some Viserium brandy to help your mind buff, and here's these treat things to help your action. And I was just like, wow, thanks. And they're just, they're just really nice. I've been kind of surprised.
Thanks, mister.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, what's funny is I was trying to create my character exactly the way he looked before.
I couldn't remember.
He's a little off, but he's pretty close.
He's Bizarro Jastrom.
I want him to look older, like it's my same character, but years later, you know?
Okay, so you gave him some age spots?
A little bit of gray,
Hmm.
So, but it's pretty interesting. And,
yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to group with you and explore.
Yeah.
If other people are interested, they should join us.
Well, what's also funny is back when that game came out, I had my old computer. I couldn't crank any of the settings up.
True.
Because my computer couldn't handle it. Now that game is so old, and I have my new, computer that can play high-end games, you can crank all the settings up and see it the way it was meant to be played. And you see all the foliage and bugs flying around, butterflies and stuff.
Yeah, I had most of them at the top range. The only one I had to dial down was the distance.
Uh-huh.
Because whenever I had that up too high, I was only getting like 20 FPS. And that's only because it's not optimized for our systems. I mean, this is a game that came out when I think dual core processors were like the highest end there were.
Yeah, that was even a rare thing probably. And also I had a 4x3 or monitor.
Yeah.
And now I can see the game in widescreen.
Ooh.
And there's so much more space on the screen, Bill.
There is. You can adjust the field of view, and I've messed with the settings. It's fun. Yeah, it's nostalgic. I get kind of a comfort when what I do at night is, I do everything I'm doing in the day, and then at night I grab my laptop, hop in bed, fire it up, and just kind of lay there for an hour or two while I, listen to a podcast or have, me TV on. I'm watching Too Close for Comfort.
It's perfect for that. Just like you're just chilling or whatever, you can, I've done that, listening to podcasts or something, and just be walking around, and you can do crafting and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. And I've really been concentrating on crafting because I want to make guns.
And there's that Star Wars music whenever it's a sunrise or sunset.
Yeah.
Or all of a sudden it'll start raining.
They choose the best musical cues. When they happen, I always get like a little warm feeling.
Yeah, me too. And there's a live weather system in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. It just brings old feelings back where just, you know, kind of this happiness there.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's like being able to travel back in time.
But it's also sad, too, because none of the people we knew are there. You remember?
That's true. That's very true. And in fact, whenever we were doing the Old Republic, we like found our old guild site and tried to get other people to like join the guild. But I think one person you actually got to talk to was joining his friend's guild from New Zealand or something. And
right.
It just, nothing ever worked out. Or yeah. Some people we couldn't locate.
And well, I found several people, and one, Wen, you know, he goes, oh, I don't even have a working computer right now. It's like, oh, okay. But it was funny. You know, it's good times. And Bill, I guess that's our show. You know, this is a lunchtime show, Bill, and we need to wrap it up.
Yeah, we don't want to get interrupted by Ollie Barrett.
Yeah, that's true. So, guys, I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back with episode 300 next week. Again, I want to thank our new patrons, Paul and Darren, and all of our other patrons. Go to patreon.com/landfill. And, Bill, thank you so much for spending some time with me during the show.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Always is.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Woohoo! Oh, dancing robot action, Bill.
Are you sure that isn't Super Shredder?
Oh, you're right. It is Super Shredder. I'm doing the robot right now, Bill.
Fuck, fuck.
You're listening to Talk Radio.
No, you're not.
The talk of...
They wish.
Now this is podcasting.